How many of you ever sort of don't pay attention to the Bible readings? You know, it just kind of goes through there. Not that verse. That last one. You know, this morning's Bible reading, it makes a good pop reggae song. How many of you were listening to the radio in the 70s? And you know the song, Rivers of Babylon? Who knows the song, Rivers of Babylon? We're going to sing it, just a little bit. It's like, mighty rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. Anyone familiar with it? Okay, a few of you, so you have to sing loud. Maybe you should come up here with me and sing harmonies, right? No. So let's try it. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. Remember that now? You got it? There's another verse I'll teach you, too. We don't sing that last line. The song was not, bad enough to do that. This was a pop hit from the 70s by a group called Boney M., a German group that sang sort of a reggae style. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. It goes like this. Oh, the wicked carry us away captivity, require of us a song. How shall we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? So for the wicked, carry us away captivity. Try that. For the wicked carry us away captivity, require of us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? Again. For the wicked carry us away captivity, require of us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? Sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. It's a pretty song, isn't it? Pretty, and it comes from a psalm that expresses pain and sorrow. And that last line that you heard, that Sophie had to read, the worst line in the Bible, that part, it's not pretty, it's not beautiful, doesn't have beautiful harmonies, doesn't make you feel good at all. It makes me want to, you know, vomit. I can't understand the pain that the writer of this psalm felt. I can't understand the anguish of the people who had been enduring atrocities committed against them by the Edomites. I can't understand a desire to kill the children of the enemies who treated them so poorly, raping them, murdering them. I have never experienced the kind of rage that would come from seeing your children savagely murdered and abused. And that's the place from which this psalm is written. So there's, understandable maybe isn't right. I can see how a person would feel that payback was the only thing that would give them satisfaction. can see how a person would want revenge after they'd been treated savagely, inhumanly. And I can see how people today want revenge against those who have murdered innocents. We've seen too much of it in the last few years. We've seen way too much of it in our lifetime, and there has been too much of it throughout the course of human history. So I can understand that people can get angry, rage. But I just can't understand ever wanting to take little ones and dash their head against a rock. And it's right there. I wish this verse wasn't in the Bible, but it is. Psalm 137:9. There are theologians who are more forgiving with this psalm. They say that, well, the psalm gives permission for people to be honest with God, say anything to God. And maybe they have a point. And I agree that we can say anything to God. We can chew God out. What are you doing? We can yell and scream, call God awful names. Vent. And in our venting, maybe we let go of some of the anger and pain that we have. In our crying, maybe we begin the slow process of healing. Even when we have completely inappropriate thoughts, completely inappropriate words, I know that God listens always. And God isn't, I've said it so many times, God isn't the cosmic sheriff waiting for someone to mess up so that God can respond with pew, pew, you know, lightning bolts or stuff like that. It doesn't happen. I don't care what any preacher says. I don't care what Pat Robertson says about, oh, your husband's sick because you haven't been tithing or whatever he said this week. Unfortunately, for us as Christians, for us as people of faith, anyone that reads the Old and the New Testament, Psalm 137 isn't the only place where such words exist. Now, Psalm 137 is expressing the rage of a person, and I think I've said before, and if not, let me say it now. Psalms express how a person is feeling. They don't express God's promises to people because they are the songs of people. They are the blues songs. They are the celebration songs of the people of Israel. And when they say, God, you are absent, that's not a promise that God is absent. When they say awful things like the end of Psalm 137, it's not a description of what God is like. It's a description of what the writer was feeling when they wrote it. Less forgiving, then, is Isaiah 13:16. Similar verse, but this is a book of prophecy and supposed to show God's promises. And it says that, well, it's the wrath of God against the evil ones that's being described. It says, their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses will be plundered, and their wives ravished. And I got to say, it's not in keeping with the character of who God is. Or if you think that God's character is like that, why in the world would you want to follow that? It's the words of a writer looking for revenge. God isn't the cosmic sheriff looking for us to mess up so he can send out lightning bolts or fire or disease or something just to straighten us out. And harsh, awful words have been used to describe what God is like, and God is not like that. It's not okay to seek revenge. It just isn't. It's not okay to call for the slaughter of innocent children. It's not okay to call for the slaughter of anyone because payback is dangerous. See, it doesn't pay back anything. It only makes things worse. It doesn't square anything. Wishing harm on our enemies, our adversaries, it comes out of a desire to pay them back for what they've done. And it doesn't work at all. Here it is. And maybe you've heard this before. I don't know. If I didn't make it up, revenge is a dish best not served at all. But we have to remember that these horribly offensive words, the words from Psalm 137, the words from Isaiah, words from a few other places, they're in our Bible. They are in our sacred book. They don't reflect the overall theme of the Bible of God doing something good, us messing up, God doing something good again, restoration, messing up, restoration, measure up, or messing up. They certainly show an example of us messing up and wishing such awful things, but they don't show the real theme of the Bible. Or they definitely don't follow the rules of loving God and loving everyone. Or if you only followed one rule, just love. They don't show that rule. We can't judge the whole of our sacred book, the Bible, by the presence of anger, offensive verses, or unacceptable texts. And there is anger, and there are offensive verses, and there are unacceptable texts in our sacred book. I don't think that we want to judge all of Christianity or all of Judaism for that fact by that. We can't judge any religion based on the most awful texts in their sacred books. I think we should just call Psalm 137, or at least the end of Psalm 137, what it is: horrible, offensive, and unacceptable. We can take the first part of it and sing great harmonies and have a pop reggae hit in the 70s. But really, yeah, let's, I know that people kind of, you get angry sometimes when Christians don't look at the whole of the Bible and say, we believe everything and we follow everything. Because first, you can't. Second, every person picks and chooses what they like or dislike about the Bible, what they follow or don't follow about the Bible. And when it comes to happier those who dash your children's heads against the rock, you know, not going to follow that. I don't care how much anybody ever says, but we have to follow the whole Bible. We can acknowledge that it's there, that it's unacceptable. You have to follow that. If you want to, just scratch that part out. Go ahead. And the whole Timothy thing, the one who takes anything away from this book or anything shall be, I don't remember the words to it. It's about whatever's in the New Testament there. And it's never meant to say you find something horrible and offensive in the sacred text, you don't follow it. Pure and simple. We can acknowledge that the pain expressed in Psalm 137, it comes from deep, deep within a heart that has been through devastating circumstances, brutal treatment at the hands of someone else, someone in power. And we can be agents of healing instead of division when others cry out. We can hope that others hear our pain and they'll be agents of healing and restoration instead of division when we cry out. There are lots of psalms that remind us that in our anger and pain and sorrow, we can cry out. We can sing the blues or pop reggae songs. And so often in the music, in the crying out, we begin that slow process of healing. We can begin to live with and heal from devastation. We can remember the places of pain in our lives. And just like the writer of Psalm 137, at least in the part of it, in the part that stands out in the song, we can just say, right here, right there we wept. Amen.